It's more like, wait, you made a stupid decision and now I have to pay for it, even though I didn't do anything wrong. I've been bringing business in the door. You guys are the ones that messed up. So why am I being punished? Like, that was the feeling that I had. It was pretty awful. It's like, imagine walking into an office and they just hand you a check for 2 weeks' pay. And they're like, we're laying off half the company. You're all getting 2 weeks. And you're like, wait, what?
Profits have hit a record high, and you've all worked overtime to make it happen. So it's time to be rewarded with a corporate pizza party. The podcast taking you inside the highs and lows of corporate America, hosted by Dan Space, Farah Sharghi, and Mike Petito. We couldn't afford bonuses this year, but sit back and enjoy the next best thing.
Welcome, everybody, to another corporate pizza party, where today we're going to talk about a serious topic that has affected all of us and what's going on in the industry. We're going to dig into layoffs and how they happen and why they happen and talk about our own personal stories with them and something that I know affects a lot of people. Before we do that, though, we have to kick this interview off the right way. Farah, tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Mike. Hello, everybody. I'm Farah Sharghi. I am one of the technical recruiters who is hosting this lovely little pizza party. And I had a chocolate donut this morning, you guys. I thought about you because I knew we were recording today. It was
excellent.
Worth it.
Excellent. I love the daily donut report from Farah. My other host, Dan, tell us about yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel Space. I'm an HR business partner, also known as Dan from HR, who took a little bit of a brief hiatus this year, but I'm coming back early next year. And I did not eat a donut today, but Kara's donut updates in our group chat makes dieting end of year very difficult.
It does. My name is Mike Petito, and I ate two lunches today. So that's what I had.
All right.
A little jealous. That's awesome.
Because yesterday, in case my wife is listening to this, breaking news for her, I did not eat my lunch yesterday. I went to Chick-fil-A for lunch secretly, ate it in shame, threw the trash away, and then today ate that lunch as well as the lunch from last night's dinner. So there is no evidence until I put it on recording. We're going to find out if she listens to this podcast real quick, though.
She'll never know. There's a good way to find out if she's supporting her podcast career.
So this is where we reveal things about ourselves, personal sides, or whatever else can happen. On a more real and serious note, this week, news broke of lots of layoffs happened again. Spotify, we're glad to be here on your podcast list now, but at the same time, a lot of layoffs have happened there. And not just Spotify, Twilio and Bill.com. And the numbers in the tech industry at this point are, you know, bordering on 300,000 people almost laid off just this year alone. And Dan, you are by far the person of the three of us, sort of the most experienced in this world, who has been on both sides of this and put a lot together. And I want to hear from you. What's the cause, or what are your thoughts when you hear all this?
So it's, you know, I've probably put together about 14 between full-time work and between a lot of consulting during the pandemic when a lot of companies had to make this sort of decision. And when you enter it with thought, and when you enter it with considering that your employees are not line items to meet a financial goal, that they're people that you're impacting, I find it to be a lot more successful. And I started introducing sort of a new concept, which is to where you have the leaders talk to the employees and say, we are in trouble. If we do not severely cut costs, we are going to shut down as a business. So we are up to our last string, which is layoffs. Layoffs are like it's a Hail Mary because headcount is the most expensive thing. And what I found over and over again was that companies that did that actually had the employees help. Like, you'll have employees who are so burned out, who don't want to work there anymore. They'll be the first ones to take it back. You'll have other employees, you know, especially if they know about it and if they're helping prepare for it, they'll own it because they do the one thing that executives and highfalutin C-suite members don't have access to, which is how your layoffs are going to impact other teams. So for those of you who didn't know, I very secretly went back to work full time last year, and I actually was part of a layoff. And I felt so bad because I was only there for like 9 months, so I never really sort of turned off my consultant ring. But the way they did it was so horrible because this company had a reputation for a CEO that said, we're never going to do layoffs, even posting on social media at the beginning of the year. We don't do layoffs. And so got his people to a space of comfort and to a space of, okay, I'm safe. Like, I know I'm not getting as big increase, and I know I'm not getting as much of a bonus. I might not be getting a promotion, but I have my job. All of a sudden, one day, being called to like a 5-minute one-way meeting with the 10 executives looking all sad and decrepit, you know, five of which can't even make eye contact to tell everyone, I think almost 900 people, you don't have a job anymore. All of you have locked out your computers. If you're on site, you have like an hour. Otherwise, security guards are going to walk you out of the building. and you have to sign this agreements form today, was like, you know, I was kind of just laughing at it a little bit because I'm like, one, you solved my problem because I was leaving in January. So now this makes this much easier. I get a nice severance just by being here. But all I could feel was like the level of betrayal that these employees, and especially like, this was like the first week of October. It's the worst time to do layoffs. So anytime a company does it past October, like you are putting all of your employees who have bled, you know, heart, blood, and steel, and sweat for your company, and you're telling them, hey, thanks a lot for that. We're going to give you a few months off. And guess what? You don't have a job anymore. And we're going to enter you in the worst possible time to look for one because every other company just did their layoffs. And no companies are hiring because they're closing down December budgets. Even though I know, Mike, yours is different.
It's...
You hire through the end of the year.
Well, I think everyone hires a little bit, but layoffs still happen for sure. But you bring up a really interesting point because it's exactly what happened to me on a much smaller scale. But I think most people who get laid off see their layoff coming to some sort of degree and are often given that message of, no, it's not. It's not coming. Everything's going to be fine. And where I was laid off from, I still like the people there. I don't have a ton of negative things to say. But yes, I was told for several months, we're not doing layoffs. Everything's great. You are very happy and it's going to happen. And then it came. And why is this the norm? Is this the norm now? Like, is that what happened to you too, Farah?
Yeah. I mean, I've been laid off 4 times in my career. And, you know, the one where we definitely saw it coming was Uber because it was the pandemic. No one's taking rides, and that's how we were making money. So it was definitely, you know, the writing was on the wall. And I think out of all of my layoffs, Uber treated us the most humanely, where they gave us outplacement services, they gave us 6 months COBRA support payments, and, you know, depending on your tenure, on top of the 2 months, they gave you even more severance. So I think out of all the ones I've had, they did the best job. Some of the other ones, it's more like, wait, you made a stupid decision and now I have to pay for it, even though I didn't do anything wrong. I've been bringing business in the door. You guys are the ones that messed up. So why am I being punished? Like, that was the feeling that I had. It was pretty awful. It's like, imagine walking into an office and they just hand you a check for 2 weeks' pay. And they're like, we're laying off half the company. You're all getting 2 weeks. And you're like, wait, what?
Right. By people who do not live paycheck to paycheck and are fine likely for the rest of the year and probably got like that guy that like destroyed WeWork and got like $130 million agreement as part of his severance. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like the employees are walking out. Like these are people that we all live paycheck to paycheck. Like if you ask me if I had a savings account or 401k, like it would barely survive 3 months. Like, and, you know, after telling and, you know, obviously, and it's kind of funny, I have been noticing that I want to talk about 10 things at once. So I'm going to calm down and just talk about
you one have thing. So much to say. There's a lot to say on this topic. It's okay.
There's a lot to say about this.
Yeah.
I have recently been binging The Good Place, and it is such a phenomenal show.
Mm-hmm. Love
and
that show.
It reminded me of this experience where everyone is trying to pull the wool over your eyes, but you're secretly in hell and you're seeing all the signs. But because someone you trust in a high level is saying, it's not you, it's me, trust me. I have it all taken care of. You're going to be fine. Just for you to finally confront them and say, you lied. Like you manipulated people's feelings and have them be like, yep, my bad. And so I ended up reaching out to the head of HR and I was just like, I just need to talk to you person to person. As an HR professional, do you agree with what happened? Do you agree with their policies? Like this just feels like we're in backwards land. And she actually said that she thought it went really well, that she had gotten a lot of positive feedback that the layoff was done really, really well. I'm like, I don't know who you're talking to, but no one thinks that layoff went well, other than maybe people thought that they were told very quickly they didn't have a job. But like, why can't anyone acknowledge that the CEO lied? She's like, well, he didn't lie. He told the truth when he made that post in January. He wasn't doing a layoff. And then we had to do a layoff. That's not a lie. I'm like, well, you are like the Kelly, you know, the old chief correspondent from the White House with alternative facts. I'm like, you're that from the corporate world. Like, it's a lie. Say it's a lie. Like, acknowledge that you hurt people with dishonesty. They built trust in this. She was like, we have to agree to disagree. I'm like, this is why everyone hates HR.
And I think this really sad thing that's coming, and we all see it and it exists now, is companies are now, the precedent has been set. You can do a layoff at any time with little repercussion, right? A week of bad PR until something else comes up and we'll forget about Spotify in a few days, just like we forgot about Meta and everyone else when they did layoffs over time. And the company will keep making money and we'll be fine and we'll move on. And it wasn't always like this, right? Like, this wasn't always just like layoffs were just like the way to get shareholders a few extra dollars and everyone move on like nothing happened, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I hate to admit it. Like, Wall Street has a formula that if a company reports layoffs, like anywhere between 6 to 8%, that's considered like a magic number. That's you telling Wall Street, we got a little bit too heavy, but we're cutting down. We're now a more serious company. But I think the impact to these large layoffs is so horrifying because, one, just like you said, like there's this feeling of guilt, like, oh, we had to do it. We're so terrible. And like, I know we all talked about like the crying CEO, and CEOs now are posting on LinkedIn that layoffs are devastating for them, you know, and it's like, I don't want to dissuade your feelings, but you're fine, bro. Like, you got an $8 million payout. Like, you have your two houses, you got a big old bank account. You're dealing with people that live paycheck to paycheck and they don't have a job anymore. There's no income for them. And you're posting online saying how hard it was for you.
Yeah. Like, oh, did you forego your $8 million bonus in order to save like several people's jobs? No, you didn't. No. I didn't see that in your crying post.
Right.
Yeah. And at these large companies, they won't even remember. They won't even know. And we think about how mad people have been at some of these companies, like in the immediate aftermath of the layoff, and how now we are all back to using the product or doing whatever. And Meta is out there rehiring people on contract at less money. And that's fine in its own. But there is no long-term repercussion to a company to do it. And I remember this moment hit me last year. So I was laid off last November, right before the holiday season. And the week I was laid off, 2 days later is when Twitter laid off half their staff. And then Meta laid off all those people like in the same week. And I just remember feeling like I'm a nobody now. I'm just buried under this ocean and everyone is racing to hire Meta and Twitter people and Google layoffs. And I just remember thinking, like, companies have realized they can get away with this and they're all going to take off for the holidays and come back in January and do it again. And it's exactly what they did.
Yep.
Yeah, it's truly a shame. I mean, to me, Mike, you made a really good point, is that there's no repercussion to the companies, but these 300,000 people who were laid off this year all have to put on their resume impacted by layoff. So now the companies who have been discriminating against people with job gaps are creating people, employees with job gaps. And like, well, how is that fair? And now they're going to discriminate against them as well. Because I hate to say it, but yeah, discrimination exists. And if there's a gap, then, you know, some recruiters will confront you about that gap and ask, was this performance related? And, you know, a good recruiter won't do that. But wait, let's be honest. We've had our own altercations with bad recruiters ourselves. So.
And it's tough because managers want to know that too. So I will tell you, as someone who actively does interviews today, I don't ask people anymore. I used to say, what happened? Did you leave there? Wherever? Because it was just like a natural conversation, natural question. But I've had to shift the way I ask questions because I just think it's a very sensitive, but also like traumatic thing for people, what's happened in the last year. And I try and avoid that. But the first thing most hiring managers will ask me is, well, why did they leave there? Why are they no longer there? Because of course that's what's on their mind. And I almost just shrug. I'm just like, they were laid off. I just lie for them at this point. They were laid off because they probably were. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the pandemic, I think, really reset expectations. I know at least in all the companies I consulted with and in my own perspective, like everyone gets a pass from 20 to 20 to 2022. You have six jobs. I assume that you got six really great offers that made a little bit more money every time. And you just stayed with the biggest one. And I don't think it's bad for a candidate to say that. Why are you going to stick with a lower paying job when you could easily make $30,000 more for the first time in your life? You have access to the entire country of companies, including these big tech companies, including these big CPG companies that usually pay much better total compensation packages. And I think there's so many unfortunate dominoes because you unfortunately then have people who want to take advantage of people who are laid off. There are people who the irony was amazing when I made that post a few months ago that Saturday, Social Saturdays, was a waste of time, that all it does is build engagement for the poster. And all it does is attract people who are selling recruiter and LinkedIn services to unemployed people because mm-hmm. that is a target market. And sure enough, there was someone there who did not read the post, just saw that I used the hashtag Social Sundays and said, hey, everyone, happy Social Sunday. My name is Megan. I'm a resume writer, certified resume writer, LinkedIn.
I remember that post. That was amazing.
I was like, this is now the problem, because now you have people who are job search career clown, job search expert gurus who give bad advice, who give bad information, who scam people, and this is their hunting ground. So now they go to people and say, hey, I for $3,000, I can fix your resume and LinkedIn. But I think to your point, Mike, what happens with your case is so tragic because it happens a lot. Because anytime a big name company has layoffs, all posts come out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, if anyone has been Twitter, let me know, put time on my calendar. I'm like, where were you when this 500 person company did a layoff that you just have never heard of? They're not less important or less skilled. In certain ways, they may be more skilled, but we attach this bias to company name. And now the problem is that then further cascades because you have companies like Google, like Meta, like these big CPG and insurance companies that have total compensation packages much bigger than a lot of other companies can afford. So now when people get jobs at these smaller companies, now they're posting saying, I was given a lowball offer. You weren't. You're just being paid less because that's how much that company pays that role. It's not a lowball offer. You just are not being paid in like the top 10% of companies.
Yeah, that's the new market. And that's outside of big tech. And yeah, I mean, I saw a post on LinkedIn on Monday or Tuesday that just said, anyone who was laid off from Spotify, send me a message. I would love to hire you. And it was just like, yeah, and no offense to anyone at Spotify. You probably are great. You are talented. You deserve a job as well. But also, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have worked somewhere you've never heard of who read that post and are just like, well, what the fuck about me?
Right.
Exactly.
Now, Farah, you have been laid off, like all of us, several times, but from from these companies. So, I mean, it's fair to say, did you feel that advantage, like on the job search? You're just like, well, I'm coming from Uber or from Google or from TikTok on this layoff. Like, did you feel it much easier?
100%. I mean, I was freaking out about, like, I'll use Uber just because that was like the most recent large company layoff that I went through. I was really worried because it was a pandemic. We didn't know what was going to happen. And there were so many recruiters in my network that were laid off. And I thought, oh my God, I am screwed. So what do I do? So I reached out to my network and did all the things we're supposed to do, right? All the things that we coach our clients on. And sure enough, I did end up getting a job at TikTok. But unbeknownst to me, another recruiter whom I had worked with at Uber, she had already moved to TikTok before the pandemic, like right before, and I wasn't aware of it. She had submitted my name as a referral and didn't tell me. And so when I'm in the interview process at TikTok, they mention her name and they were like, oh, so-and-so said you're great and da-da-da. So I had to play it off like, yeah, I knew what was going on. I didn't know what was going on.
Like, I am like, great. That person's
sure,
correct.
Yeah, exactly.
What a tough they situation to put you in, telling them how great you were before you got there.
Yeah. So they
and we're sorry for causing you your job.
Yeah, exactly. So they mentioned the first name and not the last name. And I'm like, wait, who is this? So after the last interview, I look it up and I see who it is. And I'm like, hey, did you refer me? She's like, oh yeah, I did. Yeah, no, yeah. And I never asked her. And thank goodness she did. Because then, you know, I ended up getting an offer and it was way more money than I was making at Uber, even though at Uber I was doing well. But, you know, let's face it, my TikTok offer was much higher and I was very happy with it. So,
yeah, that is the exact opposite of what happened to me when I was laid off from a 80 person, you know, startup company that nobody had ever heard of, who my only network were the people in that company and that they could go to. And to their credit, they tried, right? But it's a very different network when you're coming out of a company like that compared to the other places. And I think that's what's so sad. And like being in the space we're in, you talk to so many people who just don't have that network and are just told, network, network, you'll be fine. Oh, you got laid off, like lean into your network. And let's face it, people's networks are fucking strapped right now. It's just when everyone in your network is looking for a job, like what even is your network?
I mean, it's cliche, your network is your net worth, but it's so true. And that's something that people don't realize. Like, that is just part of your job. Like, this should be something that you work on every few months, every year. You need to, like, catch up with people who work at companies you want to work at. Like, you have to maintain it for times like this. Like, when times are good, you can't just be laissez-faire and just sit back and go, oh, I'm just going to kick it because the market's doing well, which means I have job security. Woohoo! And then all of a sudden, when stuff hits the fan, then you're screwed. Whereas like someone like myself, I just happen to have a really good network because I'm a recruiter. This is my job. That's where recruiters have an advantage over other people's professions, where a recruiter whom I knew, who I worked with closely, just put my name in the hat and didn't even tell me. I don't know how she knew I was applying, but she somehow figured it out. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I probably would have gotten a different job, but because of that one referral, easy interview process, got an offer and a great offer.
Yes, until 100,000 recruiters are all let go at the same time, like happened in the past year. And then all of a sudden,
this year
isn't worth anything.
I mean, so. I have a sad story for you guys. I'm not going to reveal any names, but or cities, but there, let's just say there's a city here in the Bay Area that a lot of meta recruiters work at, and they were not getting good jobs. And to your point, Mike, they were saying, you know, oh yeah, I got this offer, but it's too lowball. Like, I don't want to take this offer. Mm-hmm. And so they've been working at a local warehouse, just, you know, moving boxes around. And so many recruiters had been laid off in this town that people are now fighting to get hours at this warehouse, because this was like one of the most highest paying hourly jobs that they could find locally.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And that's just to cover essential expenses. This is not like, you know, these are not like $150,000 a year jobs. You know what I mean?
And this is all at the benefit of people who didn't need the extra benefit anyway. And I think that's what's frustrating.
$100 million heirs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's where this.
And then you look at how much bonuses, yeah, the C-suite got paid for Meta for this year and last year. You're like, oh, that's where all their money went.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so hard. And it goes back to even kind of what we said. It just all feels so different. It just all feels so different than 20 years ago when, like you said, like a layoff was just sort of a last resort. We're going to go out of business if we don't do this layoff. Versus now, every November or every other quarter when earnings are coming, what can we do to make sure that the stock price goes up by a little bit? And that's just what's happening. And it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on layoffs?
Terrible. I think it's called they call it what, expense optimization when you lay people off. It's like, wait, so I'm here to help you optimize your expenses.
Happy
by
to be of service.
Letting you lay me off. Right? Happy to be of service, I guess. Well, that's the thing I explain to people, because they, you know, when it comes to layoffs, I also explain, you know, when it comes to a company's expenses, the three top expenses a company has are employees, lawsuits, and lease agreements, right? The real estate. So which of those three are the easiest to unwind? Getting rid of employees.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's the reality.
For anybody listening, what's just like one thing, the one thing to know for them, if the layoff has just come from people who have been through this several times and seen it, like if you could tell yourself one thing for the first layoff, what would it be?
Apply for unemployment the minute you find out.
Absolutely.
I don't have just
one. Dan never has just one. But yeah. If you look at your list, what is 1A colon dot 1A?
Stay off social media. Don't post on LinkedIn that you are so grateful to have been part of this layoff and ask people to look for open roles. You immediately tune people out. You have to say, I am a marketing manager who's on the market. I'm good with performance A/B testing for CPG firms. I'm based in Seattle. I can do remote. Give hiring managers and recruiters the information they need. The pity post is very valid, but it's useless on social media and may backtrack against you. Because if you post in anger, I gave this company 8 years of my goddamn life and I'm the first person on the chopping block, that goes in recent activity. That's a part of history forever. So I always tell people, stay off social media. I always tell exactly what Farrah says, apply for unemployment. The other thing I always think is, and sorry, I'm just going to hold her right through your rule and give you three, I think going through a layoff is traumatic and it's very important to process those feelings like trauma. Even though this recent company, I was only at for 10 months, they begged me to come out of retirement. They made me a really great package. I was out of there within 7 months. I realized this was not the place for me, but it still hurts. Like the idea that my name had been discussed, that I was a name on a list that people were like, yes, he needs to go. Like that hurts. Like there's nothing you can say that's going to take away that pain, even though it was the best thing possible. Like that was the best possible outcome. I just wish I had known about it ahead of time, because then I would have sent all of the files I was working on ahead of time. But it's really important to process it like the trauma that it is. You know, go through your favorite activity, whether or not it's reading, drinking, night partying, you know, take a vacation, do some travel as finances allow. But processing it as grief and trauma, give respect to your feelings.
Agreed. I've talked about this a lot with my own layoff, especially, right? Like I dove right back in and I wasn't ready. And the post I made on LinkedIn immediately didn't take advantage of where I really could have sold myself to all the views I was about to get by doing it. And it sucks to say it, but you have to have a strategy for getting onto the market after a layoff just like that. You have to stop and think, what do I want people to see? It's not even about the negativity of the post, but the, do you want the 10,000 people, if that's the most impressions you've ever had on LinkedIn, do you want it, them just to know you got laid off? Or do you want them to know that you can do this, this, and this, and are a benefit for this, this, and this when they see that post hit their feed? And I think that's a great point. It's a tough topic, and it's probably something we're going to address in a lot of future parties because, you know, nothing is going to keep people happy like pizza when they are still here post-layoff for everyone who is going to be still being at the company and is rewarded for a pizza party for not being laid off. This one is for you. This is why corporate pizza parties were invented, right? For the post-layoff?
For those of you who are listening and can't see, Dan's face is like the color of a tomato. And he's covering half his face with his shirt because he's laughing so hard.
Dan looks like someone who's had to order a lot of pizza for people who were spared in layoffs in his career.
True.
Okay. That being said, we won't dive further into. Obviously, when it comes to layoffs, there are a ton. But of course, there's only one way to ever wrap this up and make sure we secure the job here. Farah, any hesitations about this episode?
No, I think this was actually probably one of the most useful episodes for anybody who has experienced a layoff, or if they haven't and they know someone who has, to really be empathetic to them and to be able to give them some tangible guidance and advice. And for, you know, I think the, you know, addressing this topic of layoffs is something that people don't really get into other than mostly the emotional side of things. And so I think Dan especially was able to provide a lot of really useful information about like what really goes on behind the scenes. And so no, I have no hesitations about this episode. In fact, I think it's one of our best.
Perfect. Out of four, this is one of our best so far. That is amazing. Dan, any hesitancies about this episode?
Hi, Mark.
I think just the fact that we got Farah's connection fired from TikTok for lying on her application. Other than that, I think it's fine. Sorry, Farah's friend. Better hold on from TikTok here.
Every pizza party, Farah gets this close to just getting somebody in so much trouble. And we're going to get her there eventually. And then that will be the hesitation from the episode.
No, I would say my only hesitation is that I really tried for the first 5 minutes to calm my speech and focus on one thing at a time. And I could tell by the end.
We got five calm minutes of Dan. It's a new record. Who knows?
5 minutes.
Yeah. One of these days, we may ask Dan for one thing and just get one thing. But today will not be that day. And that is okay.
Today's not that day.
Well, this is not a topic I love to talk about, obviously, but it's a topic we all talk about a lot. And it was important. So we appreciate everybody tuning in and hope that you can take some tangible advice. Hope you can hear something helpful from something like this. Know a lot of people have been through it. Know that these are really tough times when it happens. And we will see you for the next party. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.